pray. So, you know, I was able to meet a lot of different kinds of people from all over the country that were in our denomination, and I was able to brag a little bit about what we're doing over here at Parkview. Because a big thing that they're doing is everyone is big pushes towards not being stuck in your traditions, right? They're trying to say, we need to move forward. We need to be progressive to reach a progressive world, right? So they're trying to get everybody how to figure that out. And I'm sitting there talking to these other pastors. I'm like, well, you know, at Parkview, we have found a way to keep our traditions in hand, but still be progressive to reach a progressive world. So I was able to brag a bit because you guys are ahead of the curve, so to speak. So pat yourselves on the back. Pat yourselves on the back. Amen and amen. That's right. So today I do want to take a few moments and let us read from a scripture. I'm going to read from the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms and the 51st chapter. Psalms 51. I'm going to read the first through the 10th verse. First through the 10th verse. For those who have your Bibles, or if not. And it reads as thus: the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those who with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclear will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast, nor they will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. And gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. Father God, we look to you now, looking for a word from you, asking you to use this time to draw us closer to you. Help us realize better what it is you are trying to do with us, through us, to make an impact into this world. But I ask that you consecrate me now, by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. 1974, a gentleman named Scott Peck wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled. Maybe some have read it. heard of it. And in this book, he was a psychiatrist, and in the book, he kind of lays out how we can take life's obstacles and challenges and overcome them, different ways of doing that, the person. And he deals with this in a psychological way, but also in a very spiritual way as well. And something in that book that pertains to today is this idea of love. And we think of love as a feeling. But he says that love is actually an action. It's an active thing. He says showing your love is as simple as giving your attention, listening, and helping your partner reach their goals. Well, if anyone's been in a successful relationship, whether it was ordained by God, licensed by a minister, or just through text on Facebook. If you've been in a successful relationship, then you learn to listen to the other person. You were attentive to their needs, and you were supportive, trying to help them achieve their goals. Well, today I want to look at how we as Christians, in our relationships with one another, in this body of Christ, how we can be better listeners, how we can be there for one another. Because we all have goals that we want to attain. We all have things we're trying to achieve. And we ask, why do we come to church? Why do we come into this building? Why do we gather with these people? Maybe it's out of just a sense of comfort, familiarity. But maybe it's because we're coming to be healed. Because we want something more for our lives. We understand that God has called us to something greater. And so I want to use this scripture to kind of look at how we can better support one another. Because I believe the reason we come here has a deeper meaning than maybe we realize. And so we're going to journey down this road less traveled. I want to look at three ways, three very simple ways, and I've come up with very simple labels as I try to do, and it's simply being iron like a lion in Zion. Being iron like a lion in Zion. I'm trying. Thank you. Thank you very much, Liz. Thank you very much. Those who know, that is a very popular song. Well, it's not real popular, but I stole that. So anyhow, we need to be iron. We need to have a sense of strength in our faith, a strength of who we are. Be firm in our beliefs, right? We understand that. We can't be wavering like the world. We can't just go this way when some good idea comes along, or that way another idea comes along. But we have to be firm in our belief. But in being firm, we have to be strong. But we also have to kind of be open, because God shows us, God reveals things to us about ourselves that he wants to change. And so we can't be stubborn and stuck in who we think we are when God is trying to change us and open us to different ideas, different things that he's revealing to us all the time. And the world presents all these challenges when we're trying to figure these things out. For instance, when I was at the conference, I'm going to be using this for a couple weeks. While I was at the conference, one of the big subject matters that we discussed was the LGBTQ community and its inclusion in the church, what that looks like, how we should react to that, right? And it's a big issue in the churches. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how do we welcome in people who are different than us, quotes, unquote. How do we differentiate these different sexual orientations? What does that look like inside of the church? And so this was something that we were wrestling with and talking about. And what it comes down to is this strength that we have to have in loving. right? That maybe in your person you're uncomfortable in even thinking about these things or discussing them. But God has presented this challenge to us for a reason. Maybe you can compare it to 40 or 50 years ago when there was a challenge of racial inclusion, right? Simple fact of a person with dark skin coming into a church that's all white, and how that was a struggle. And that seems crazy now, but that was a real issue. And it took the strength to love for that to break down barriers and break down walls so God could do what God was trying to do, which is to show his love and how that transcends all the things of man. And so we're faced with these things all the time. Challenges to ourselves, challenges to ideas that we have. And we have to have a strength. Psalms writes, to strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those who are fearful in heart to be strong and do not fear. Can we be strong in our faith? Well, how do we do that? Well, we're saved, right? Aren't we supposed to be saved by Christ? I didn't save myself. I tried. I thought I was doing a good job. But we're saved in our belief in Christ, in our relationship with Christ. And we get in that relationship, he begins to show us the depths of his love. How deep it goes, how no matter what we do, we can't hurt his feelings. No matter how bad we act up, no matter how shameful our past was, he still accepts us just as we are. And as we walk into that relationship, he begins to do something that we never imagined could happen. He begins to heal us from a sickness we didn't know was there. We didn't know that we had these issues of judging people. We didn't know we had these prejudices about situations and things. We didn't know that we reacted in a negative way to life. We didn't understand that until he showed it to us. And in that revelation, we begin to see how what we did impacted how others responded to us. And we begin to transform our world around us because we understood that what we did really does matter, that we weren't always just the victim, but we were also the ones who perpetuated the things that were happening in our lives. So we became iron in our faith because we believed in what God was doing. And he took our fearful hearts, our unknowing hearts, and he turned it so full of love and desire for him that it impacted all those around us. And that's what we're continuing to try to grow into. We want to have an impact in those lives around us. We want to be courageous. We want to be like a lion. Well, the Bible says that the devil's like a lion, doesn't it? He's roaring. He roars like a lion, seeking to kill, destroy. And maybe this is why we can't stay in that place. That place that God brought us to, we were so happy. We have these moments of joy, but why can't I stay there? Why am I not always like this? Oh, because there's something that comes to steal that joy, trying to kill that joy, make it seem like it was never even there. Well, if you got a lion in your life that's trying to kill you, then you need another lion in your life that can take that lion down. And that's our love for Christ. That's what he brings. You know, me and Ava have a little game we play. She'll come around and she says, put them up, put them up. And I say, put them up, put them up. And we got that from watching The Wizard of Oz. when the lion comes out, and you know the scene, Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow, and they're walking, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And he comes jumping out, and he's so tough, he's this tough guy, and he scares them, and they're all scared, and they're like, oh no. And he starts bullying them, making fun of them, until what? Until he starts chasing Toto, right? And he gets to Dorothy. And Dorothy says, hey, pick on somebody your own size. And pops him in his nose. And he says, hey, I didn't hit you. I was just talking bad about you. And that's how we are, right? We're sitting there, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And there's this enemy that's coming to take our joy. And it's like we give it up. We say, you know what, you're right. This stuff is too difficult. This life is too tough. I just need a good TV show. Make me feel better. Just let me crawl up into bed and sleep for a while. Make me feel better. And God says, no. That's all a lie. That lion can't do anything to you. Tell him to pick on somebody his own size. Because you're too big. I'm in you. I've defeated that. That's why I came. I defeated the idea of fear. The idea that you can't. The idea that something can separate you from my love. I defeated that. And so now all you have to do is turn to me. And I'm your lion. I'm your courage. Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, but I am here to save you from that. I am here to show you that there is another way, that no lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk with me. Those the Lord has rescued will return. That's you and me. The early Christians, they recall, they walked in the way, they called it. The way. Why? Because they weren't in the world's way. They were in Jesus' way. The road less traveled for us is a path through our hearts, through our courage, through our strength, through our faith, through our belief that Jesus Christ lives. He lives in us. He speaks through us. We are the vessel. We are the hands. We are the feet. You want to see somebody's life change? Go to them and be Jesus for them. Speak words of encouragement into their life. Tell them a scripture that's going to change their life. Tell them how God changed your life through your testimony. Even though you're not done, you're not perfect, but God has shown up. It's even more powerful that you're not perfect, that you can say, look at me, and yet I still believe. I still have faith. You know, my dad used to always say that the church was like a hospital. It's a place where sick people come. I would sit and watch him deal with all these issues people had. I wonder, how can he deal with all of this? He said, that's what we're called to. If the church wasn't that, it'd just be a whole bunch of people just coming and just having a good time, not worrying about a thing. Well, you can act like that anytime. But the truth is, no matter how good somebody looks, we're all going through something. We're all struggling with the same humanity that we're stuck in. And this is what the church is for. It's for a place of healing. We come here not so we can act like we've got it all together, so we can let the Lord know I don't have it all together, God, and I'm laying it all at your feet so you can please help me in my situation. So we step out of this place and show the world a true strength. We're allowed to do that here. This is our home. This is our refuge. This is our Zion. The Bible says Mount Zion is the place where God dwells. It's the place where he is the king, where he has installed himself, where he installed his place on the mount, or allowed David to be the king. So it is the historical place where God's people gather. This is why I always say in my welcoming that I welcome you to join this station of Zion. Zion is the designated area where God dwells. Zion's in your heart, it's in your mind, and it's in the place that we go to, your home, that prayer closet, where you're by yourself, just you and the Lord. If you don't have one, make one. Where you just have your quiet time with him. Zion is a dwelling place. So let your mind be in Zion. Let your heart be in Zion. Scripture simply says that we will enter Zion with singing. An everlasting joy will crown our heads. Gladness and joy will overflow and overtake us. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. We've all felt sorrow. And we'll feel it again. But understand that in our strength, in our faith, in our coming to Jesus, in our recognizing that we are redeemed, that he is our Savior, that we let go of our sorrows. We walk into that place where he dwells. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. So when you face those challenges, forget about yourself. Forget about yourself and just focus on your redemption, on your salvation, on your strength that comes from the Lord. As the band comes forward, I want to challenge each and every one of us. We understand that how we treat others is a reflection of how we're going to be treated ourselves. But in our love, in our ability to listen, to give attention, to help one another, let us look to the Lord for our strength. Let us listen to what God is saying. We're preparing a season of intention for our church. Parkview is preparing itself to receive what God is doing in our lives. See, as individuals, we ask God to do things for us. We anticipate, we expect God to show up. And so when we come together as a collective, we do the same thing. We anticipate, we expect God to show up. And so in your prayer, I want to challenge you to be very intentional and to listen, to be very specific in your listening to what God is saying to you. God is talking to you. He's trying to convey a message to you. And my prayer warriors, those who get on your knees and you really surrender, I challenge you now to really listen and to be prepared to share what God is doing. What God is saying, he's going to use you. He's going to use you to bless those around you. And in turn, here it is, in turn, he's going to bless your life. He's going to bless your life in a new way. Because he knows that in your receiving, in your giving, that you need to be filled. That you need for your needs to be answered. He's a giving God. But we have to be willing to receive what He's saying. So that's our prayer. There is one who has any doubt that you are not saved, that God is not working in your life, that He has not brought you to a place to receive His salvation, that I invite you now. Maybe you're looking for a church home to set up roots, begin your walk, to find an intention what God is doing. I invite you now to join this station of mine. Begin your journey and your path. Is there one?
So since we're so